Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. We here at the North America Wrestling Connection want to take this time to dedicate this show to a couple of people. Kenneth Williams, Kathy Raffray, and Holly Knockan. The families of all three of those people, our thoughts and prayers with all of you at this difficult time.
CLWA3 Network.
The following podcast contains graphic language that may offend some listeners. Discretion is advised.
The NAWC. For over 50 months, the revolutionary force in talk entertainment.
The North American Wrestling Connection. Bringing you...
Because I wasn't talking trash rock, I was talking truth. You left us hanging high and dry to play a fairy with a tooth? And then you walk into this ring and tell these people that I'm lame, man? He wore lipstick and Get Shorty and rocked a skirt for the game plan. This fruity pebble that you dealing with? I'm not your average jabroni. I'm like a big purple pinwheel rock, so go ahead and blow me. And you're electrifying, yes! But hang with me, that's just absurd. See, now you gotta tell your family you just got schooled by Barney's turd.
Ah, nothing like the sound of the doctor of Thugonomics finally growing a pair and speaking up. Please do not adjust your internet. It is not 2005 again. We are here at the North American Wrestling Connection. My name is Nikki Heyman. And I think I might have a full panel here tonight. I know that I seem to have accidentally brought in both of my stat people. Up north in Toledo, Ohio, stat boy Josh Henniger.
First show on the CLW83 network after a month of it being on air. Wow.
So, welcome aboard, Josh.
Yep.
And a bit to my northeast, I see Mr. VRM.
The greatest Undertaker and Triple H promos ever. They both just stood there and did their poses.
And I think I just heard the chuckle of my fourth, or is that fourth?
Yes, it is. I just have a question. Is it really ripping off WWE if the idea was a ripoff of WCW?
That I will have to ponder as we go further into the show.
Mm-hmm.
We will get to that. We did have quite a bit going on this weekend, so I'm going to surrender the floor to VRM because he has two reports for us, or at least I'll give you UFC. We might talk about Chamber.
No, we didn't have UFC this weekend. UFC is coming up. It's tomorrow is UFC.
Oh, my bad.
No, we just have the one tonight.
So, yes, last Sunday was quite the pay-per-view, and I will say this much. I enjoyed the pay-per-view up until the last 5 minutes.
I enjoyed it up until the general manager just had to stick his nose into...
Sorry.
Stuck his nose into what, VRM?
To stick his nose into the Elimination Chamber match. That was when I stopped enjoying it.
Well, I thought the little bit with Punk was kind of cute. I mean, it was just kind of goofy that he was, you know, he had trouble getting out of the chamber. He got his butt whipped by Orton and pinned immediately, rushed to the crowd's delight, which, of course, I didn't agree with either. So, thank you, Mr. General Manager. However, my complaint about the last 5 minutes is the fact that you guys all know how much I love John Morrison, how much I enjoy his work, and the fact that he did he went quite extreme for this chamber, including the first, as far as I can recall, doing the first ceiling spot in this chamber.
That was the first ceiling spot in the chamber.
When he hit that on Sheamus, I was like, that's it. He has to win the chamber. There was no better answer for that, which is why I'm very disappointed that Cena won.
Mm-hmm.
There's a storyline thing to this as well. Since they are looking at launching Tough Enough right after WrestleMania, why not have two of your Tough Enough guys as one of your two main events for Mania? I don't think we'd have a problem with this. We could find something for Cena to do. He could sell popcorn. He sells merchandise. He's very good at it.
That's the only thing he sells. Boo me now. Boo me now.
You know, boo us both. I probably deserve it. Do we even have that button?
Boo!
Apparently it's manual.
That works, Carl. Thank you. When it comes to the scores, I almost want to throw out Del Rio, Kofi Kingston. Josh, you said that you knew that it wasn't for the title. Unfortunately, you were not here last week. We all thought it was for the title, so nobody got that point.
I would have.
Well, actually, going back through the notes, Carl did take Del Rio by DQ. I don't know if choosing the results affects the... I don't remember if the choosing results and the actual finish of the match affects the point or not, but he did pick Del Rio.
It does not.
Okay. I didn't think it would. But I know it was a mess, and Jason, I'm sure you're listening, and if I remember my scores correctly, you were drop dead last. But that doesn't mean much because I think we were all in a extraordinary state of fail, so I want the worst fail sound you've got playing right now.
Yes, please. Come on, Carl.
Wow, do you have a soundboard tonight? Something tells me we don't even have a soundboard tonight. I'm not running it.
Yeah.
So I'll let him progress with the percussive maintenance on it. VRM, please, give us the scores.
Okay, well... Let me say this, first of all. No one got, with the exception of the World Heavyweight Title Chamber match, no one got more than 1 point in any of the other matches.
It was that bad.
We completely missed. Number six in the chamber. First eliminated in the chamber.
Mm-hmm.
Tag team who takes the fall, the WWE title match, and who starts the Raw chamber.
Yeah, this was just a mountain of fail.
Yeah, now, here's just one question, Siri. Why did I call you Siri? Nikki.
Yeah.
Why did I call you Siri? Wrong server. Anyway, who is the defending champion? I'm just curious.
What do you mean?
In terms of who had the belt last for us?
You know, it's sad that I don't remember.
I know I don't. I didn't win at Rumble.
I know I didn't win it either.
Because here's the scores.
Just to note, Carl is the champion coming in. Won the Rumble.
Carl is the champion coming in. All right, that makes this a lot easier because tied in second and / dead last with two is me and Jason. And tied for first everybody else at three. But, of course, it's a tie, and the defending champion is a part of the tie.
Wait. You sure about that?
Carl picked Del Rio by DQ for, I got Carl picking Del Rio by DQ, Ray starting, and Edge winning.
Yep.
Okay.
And I have you with Edge winning, Core winning, and Truth being the first out, and then I have Jim with Ray starting, Edge winning, and Cena winning.
Okay, because me and Jim both picked Core, so we both got a point there. Jim got a point for Cena winning the Raw Chamber. I got it for Truth being the first eliminated. Everybody picked Edge to win. Jim got 2 points.
Pick Core, or did Jason pick Core? Because I have Jim with, I'll have to listen to it later.
Because here's what I've got. I didn't give anybody any points for Del Rio Kofi. And nobody got any points for Ms. Lawler, because everybody picked Lawler. Me and Jim each got a point for the tag match, because we both picked Core.
All right, I gotta listen to the previous, because like I said, I've got Jason picking Core and Jim picking Santino and Kozlov.
Okay.
So let's hold the belt up for a second while I double check this.
All right, Carl, hold on.
Somebody found the soundboard.
That was rude. That's not exactly the sound I was talking with.
Well, if the soundboard person's taking requests, how about baby oil, ah?
Or at least... baby oil! Okay, I think we're now. All right. With the dust settled from the chamber, we step onto a... rather light on wrestling Monday Night Raw, but to be honest, I didn't notice. It took some of the crappers complaining for me to realize it was a light on wrestling show, but heavy on pushing towards Mania. Of course, we don't recap because hey, everybody does recaps, but we are going to talk about some of the big stuff that came down, as we heard in the open, which I believe. Mr. Jim Williams constructed for us, and I gave him the night off to continue his to be with his family. John Cena blew the roof off with his thugonomics response to Mr. Johnson regarding the family. But if they're not going to fight each other, where can we go with? I'll start with you, Josh. Where can we go with this?
With this, I'm not entirely sure where they're going with it, but it's looking as if they want to do it and do it right, after Mania, Rock Cena. Build it up for SummerSlam. Because only after months of actual wrestling, or actual, confrontation, will they be... a very, very good match. And to be honest, I can really see Rock pulling out one final match against Cena.
Something of this magnitude, though, I would love to see just happen at Mania, and that would be a huge detriment to
Miz. The only thing that I see wrong with that is that you don't have enough time to really sufficiently build Cena Rock. Something of that magnitude, which is beyond pretty much anything you have out there today, needs more than 6 weeks of build-up to get its full effectiveness.
Banana phone. Who needs to get that?
Dealing, no dealing. Hello. This is Dr. Robert Q. Saddleman, all-around good guy face, Cody Rhodes supporter, and statistician pro tem.
By the way, I just got through the tag title segment, and I realized that the reason I have Jason is because you switched the order. Because I had it myself. I always set it up the way you first started, and then go in reverse order. So I had Jason and Jim Fix backwards.
Yeah, okay. That's what I was going to report to VRM. Jim actually did pick before, giving him a total of 4. Jason in dead last with 1. Thus, Mr. Chenier, glorious webmaster that you are, can you please play the wind sound for Jim Williams, please?
Hooray!
Because it was Jim with 4 that won the day. Just thought I'd clear that up for everybody. And now I'll be back listening to the show. Good night.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr.
So I get a fail sound for tonight.
No, that's okay. Everybody gets a fail. But you only have to hit it once, Carl.
There.
This is why I hate Block Talk.
All aboard the sailboat.
Pretty much. That works.
That's enough.
That works. I like that. I want to keep that one. Cena Rock. Okay. Darren, let me pose a similar question to you. Something this big. Yeah, could use some time to build up, but in the way things are in WWE right now, 5 weeks is a long time. Can we make it? Can we make it for Mania? But what would that do for Miz?
And that's the whole thing I'm wondering is like, okay, yeah, you got 5 weeks, so and yet you've got Cena now in 2 feuds, which is kind of the reason why I wasn't expecting him to win the chamber. So now I've got Cena in 2 separate feuds leading up to WrestleMania. I don't know if there is enough time to build both the separate feuds. I would say that, in my opinion, either they're going to have to pull Cena out of the title match to get in the feud with The Rock properly, or add The Rock to the title match. That's one of the only 2 ways I can see that happening successfully, because I don't see two different feuds unless you have to make it a triple threat match working and getting properly held in 5 weeks.
Right. Okay.
What?
Really?
Who's barking?
Okay. Now, fourth, since I haven't spoken to you yet, let me throw in one last thing. If it turned into a triple threat, fourth, you kind of want to make practically the third angle in the middle of all this? Fourth?
Fourth?
Did we lose fourth?
To a dog? Possibly.
Okay. Well, no big deal. I'll just switch on to the next topic. I'll get to that in a second. We see some matches starting to fall into place. Orton seems to be maintaining issues with Punk and the rest of Punk's, which is where I thought Cena would probably land. It's just a final confrontation with the group and just close it out at Mania if somebody else was going to win the chamber. Lawler has finally had it up to here, and me being 5 foot nothing, it's still not enough.
with Michael Cole and has actually thrown down the gauntlet for a match. Cole has not given a formal answer. In fact, he was hounded about it on SmackDown this week, and he says, I will say something about it on Monday. Josh, Cole's not a wrestler. Does he get back up, or are we actually going to be treated to montages of him trying to learn how to wrestle?
We're going to be treated to montages of him learning how to wrestle very soon. And in fact, I have pretty much the right guy who would probably be able to, you know, help train him. That guy is, ironically enough, a guy who's not involved in the feud, but a guy who still needs a WrestleMania paycheck. That guy is the All-American American, Jack Swagger.
Okay, that sounds almost entertaining. And because you guys know that you know my love for Cole, and you know, frankly, I think he should go gong himself. But that's beside the point.
What a competitor.
VRM, I'll post it to you. Can we get a match? Is this going to be our potty break instead of the Divas match this year?
No, it's not going to be the potty break because everybody wants to see Cole get his ass kicked. So yeah, the Divas are still going to be the potty break. This is actually going to be the one where everyone's going to be screaming just random obscenities all over the place because they are going to be calling for Michael Cole's blood. And I think King is going to say, PG be damned, I'm going to beat the tar out of him.
I know I'll be happy.
Yeah.
But I'll throw this to both of you guys. Once this happens, once Lawler has beaten the snark out of Cole, what's the announce table going to be like the following night? I realize Cole's probably not going to be there the Monday after Mania, but Cole's going to have to come back at some point. And is he going to be the same smart-ass self that he is, or is he going to actually shut up and be a normal person?
He's still going to be a smart-ass. He's going to say, he's going to do all the traditional heel loss comments, like that was a fluke, or I had something in my eye, etc., etc., etc. He's going to find some way to bitch at and make it seem like he didn't lose, or it wasn't all his fault that he lost, even though. So, yeah, but everyone's going to. And then every time from then on when the general manager decides to call in, the crowd is going to have. I don't know what their chant is going to be because they're probably not going to be you tapped out, so.
Probably not. Let's see. Josh, anything to add?
Not really. I pretty much gave off what I was thinking is what's pretty much going to happen.
All right. The other big segment of the night, as cited by someone in their intro this evening, was one of the strongest promos to set up a WrestleMania match without a single word spoken. As anticipated, 2/21/11 was the return of The Undertaker. But in the course of his grand return, somebody else decided he wanted to steal the spotlight. Now, in the back of my head, I heard the entire internet going, oh my God, Triple H is here to bury The Undertaker. But the evil doc's not that mean. He just happened to show up, and the two of them decided to have a nice little stare down in the middle
with
of the ring.
Random camera angles pointing to the WrestleMania sign.
And there was some griping about that on the internet, but I already had the lines going through my head, and Undertaker's question was quite obvious across his face, and I'm hoping that
who in the hell do you think you are?
Yep.
For interrupting. Go ahead.
I've watched this, I like watch this segment over and over on DVR, and it's like, the second you hear the guitar riff, and Taker turns his head, it's like immediately right there in his eyes is that chord. It's like, who the hell has the balls to just play someone else's entrance music in the middle of Undertaker's grand return?
Yeah.
Damn.
And when the two of them are pretty much beak to beak, and I said that deliberately, I could hear Hunter's reply, stolen from a promo that he did back at Vengeance, 2002, where he interrupted his own promo and said, I admit it, I'm an asshole. To which Undertaker was almost an asshole back and was going to turn him down. So, Taker walks away, changes his mind, and the two of them make their signature gestures to show that they're both, pardon the expression, game for a battle at WrestleMania.
That's, I think, the fastest I've ever seen Undertaker do the next slice.
Yeah, that was pretty darn quick.
Yeah, it was like, I think the speed of it just emphasizes how emphatic it was.
Yeah, a gesture that's the only way you can have a gesture end in an exclamation point. And Hunter was almost cavalier in his de-exture. So, now that we have the match set, I'll throw this at you, gentlemen. Do we know if Sean's going to poke his head in the middle of this? Because I did hear, I watched it again when they replayed it on SmackDown tonight, and I distinctly heard the crowd chanting HBK. Would that be enough to get the Heartbreak Kid to don a set of stripes and jump in the middle of all this, as the rumors have been foretelling?
I'm going to have to say yes, because I think Michael still has the chip on his shoulder that he wants to be Taker at WrestleMania. He might not be able to do it in a competitive sense, but now he has the chance, I hate to say, but now he's got the chance to screw Taker over at WrestleMania if he dons the stripes. And who better to do it for than his best friend?
There's some respect, though, between Taker and Michaels for what was done at WrestleMania 26, so this could even go the other way. I can see it in my head where the two of them are up, you know, just, you know, they both kicked out of each other's finishers, and Michaels is just looking back and forth and back and forth.
And he pulls the trigger on Triple H.
Yeah, and he just blasts Hunter. It could go either way. I'd love to see Sean out there in some capacity, and even if he's just going to be out there refereeing, I'm good with that. It's going to be a good match regardless, even though it's my understanding that Taker's not 100%.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard something about his shoulder is so screwed up that it could not be surgically repaired. Anybody catch that?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that's right, considering I heard that he was supposed to, you know, get his shoulder up to, reasonably good shape. I don't think he can go much longer than this rate, but knowing him, he'll be going at 50.
I think he just wants to make it to 20-0, and then he'll hang his hat somewhere else.
Yeah.
Would love to see him make it to 20-0. I personally don't want to see the streak broken, because everybody, you know, they want it to go to an up-and-comer. The problem is we've had up-and-comers that look like they were good contenders to break the streak, and they left. Lesnar, Lashley, Nathan Jones. Need I go on? I believe that is my cue to say it is time for us to pay some bills. So, gentlemen, we will pause briefly for station identification and commercials. You're on CLW 83.
This is your CLW 83 network update, presented to you by Google Chrome, who actually doesn't mess up while you're running a soundboard. Oh, hi. At the top of the show, ladies and gentlemen, I mentioned three people that we were paying tribute to tonight. I'm going to delve into that real quick. The first name I mentioned was Ken Williams. He's known to us as our very own Jim Williams' father. Mr. Ken suddenly passed away last Saturday, and our thoughts and our prayers are with Jim and his family. Godspeed. The other two people I mentioned are people that I knew real well. One that really struck home, a person by the name of Holly Knockin, who died Sunday in a very, very bad car crash. Call her a friend. She always made you smile. She always... Anytime anything she had a bad day or anything, she always put a smile on her face. So thoughts go out to her family, especially her son. The other person was a mother and a wife named Kathy Raffaray, who battled cancer. She died Tuesday, and like I said, all our thoughts and our prayers go out to the families of all three of those people. Now, in lighter news, behind the scenes here, I've been working on the website update. It's been going real well. Right now, I'm working on this portion of it with all our shows and all that. That'll be up sometime next week. Upcoming shows on the CLW83 network. Our longest running podcast on the internet that's part of the network now, the CL Files, will return next week in a pre-recorded form. So look for that. I'll probably put it up Monday or Tuesday. And finally, on the 4th of March, the 5th of March, rather, excuse me, our good buddy Chris Clark will present FFL Live with a special CBA Collective Bargaining Agreement / Free Agency Edition. It's tentatively set for 9:30 p.m. Eastern. More information will come next week. And now back to the show.
Hey, this is Ethan Muslin from FFL Live, and you're listening to the CLW 83 Network.
Back on the North American Wrestling Connection. Carl, thank you. Our thoughts and our prayers are with the families of those we've lost. Let's see, where were we? Oh, yeah. We had just wrapped up about Undertaker Triple H. And I'm going to use that as a simple segue to one of the potential one of the things coming up with Impact. For those who watch Impact, there is a spoiler coming up, so please mute your internet for approximately 60 seconds. Thank you. In what might almost be a parody of 221, which has been astutely marked as perhaps a tribute to a single thing in 97, Sting was put in a video package for his return to TNA Impact, and on the March 3rd show, we'll be taking the title off of Jeff Hardy. Is TNA just celebrating having Sting back in the company, or is this them hedging their bets because of what will be happening later in the month, gentlemen?
I think it's a little bit of both. I mean, with the whole Hardy trial and going to jail fiasco, I really don't see why they put it back on Hardy in the first place. So, plus the fact that they finally got Sting to re-sign after, he started his holdout, what, after Bound for Glory?
Somewhere in there.
So, it's pretty much, it's like, okay, here's what's going to happen. Here, I was like, okay, Sting, here's what we're going to do. You come back, belt's yours. End of story. Okay, sign, and I'll be back on next. I'll be back next week.
I find this even more amusing after, you know, we spoke last week about Dixie Carter announcing that the direction will be turned once again, as they love to steer the boat in a whole new direction every 6 months. So they probably carved out a rhombus in the open sea of the wrestling business. This kind of flies in the face of what she said earlier about focusing on the new talent, although this might just be the starting point for her new initiatives. And maybe Sting might be able to give her up this time. Gosh, do you think this is a good starting point for the change in direction that was professed last week?
I was not here last week, so could you repeat that a little? Sorry.
No, you're fine. Dixie Carter has gone on record that they're going to go in a whole new direction, like they do every 6 months, and have actually decided on the younger talent, which I will believe when I see it. Sting's not exactly a spring chicken, so I'm just wondering, is this a good starting point?
To be honest, it's pretty much just sideways stepping yet again. It's not going to do much of anything, and in another 6 months, they're going to have a whole new direction again. And they're going to keep doing this until TNA either A, wises up and gets rid of a few people, or B, winds up dead. I'm banking on they're going to be dead first.
And to assist in their assisted living, Hogan is back in the neighborhood, although I understand his role is greatly reduced. I cannot comment because I have had no interest in watching the show. I'll be perfectly honest. They still have not done anything to warrant me to come back over and watch the show. I've heard a couple of good things. They are talking with, they've opened a dialogue with ODB. They would like to bring her back. But she's pretty much put her foot down to say, you're going to pay me if I come back. You are actually going to pay me money, you know, so I can live, you know. Let's see. Well, it's been passed along to me that Hernandez Morgan is starting to build as a good program on Impact, which I think I would enjoy that as a hell of a monster match. But then again, I'm a huge fan of Hernandez.
Considering the pre-built-in feud that they have for however many months ago it was, the whole tag team situation, they've got a nice little pre-built feud for that.
Holy crap, continuity from TNA? Do I have an appropriate shock, surprise, and amazement?
Whoa!
Even The Rock doesn't believe it. And I'm having a little trouble with that. Unfortunately, I will not be able to watch Impact next week because I got a gig. Sorry, guys. Rather work than watch. You know how that goes.
Mm-hmm.
Do I have any other goofy stuff on TNA? Actually, I don't. I do not, so I will have to continue on. I'll continue my way over towards SmackDown, which I'm actually going to start, point in the direction of Kofi Kingston, but next to him I'm going to put John Morrison and Sheamus. Maybe it's just the fact that we've got all this time before WrestleMania, but it seems that any momentum that these three had stalled very quickly Monday and Friday night. What's going on? Am I missing something, guys? Josh, what do you think?
I don't know. I'm confused.
Because I'll say this much, I had to be calmed down after the pay-per-view on Sunday because I truly, truly felt that John Morrison put his heart, soul, and a pretty good chunk of his body on the line.
He did.
Only to lose the chamber. I truly felt that he got robbed. And frankly, I wish I had recorded one of the phone conversations as I had reported it as a robbery and somebody humored me and played a police officer and let me file a report.
Yeah, for me, I pretty much knew that Morrison wasn't going to win, mainly because, sure, Morrison-Miz would be a beautiful match, but the thing is, they haven't really touched on that in over a year. The Miz-Cena match is wrapping up what started just after Mania last year.
I thought it was longer ago
That's
than
only
that.
Weakness.
I thought the Miz-Cena was longer ago than that because I attended the show where he was dressed up as Cena and paraded around and Cena just didn't acknowledge him. And
I thought it was just after Mania, huh?
You're going to have to give me a second on this one.
Yeah.
Vera, on your 2 cents while I'm looking this up.
I was on it until I saw it's got to be a kayfabe injury to Morrison, right, the knee?
Yeah, that's all kayfabe.
Yeah, so... Yeah, the second day I saw that and the whole thing with the knee, I was like, oh, gosh. With him, Punk, and Cena being the last three, it's like, and you can't... Has there ever been a heel versus heel world title match at a Mania?
No, they would not risk that at a Mania.
So it's like the second Morrison... Yeah, you see Morrison sort of limping around in the match, it's like, right then and there, Cena's going to win. And I think, that just killed the entire push that they were giving to Morrison, because, who are the others who were talking about with their pushes getting killed with the Chamber of Sheamus and,
Sheamus, Kofi, and John Morrison. And for the record, the Miz Cena feud that I'm referencing was in 2009. So we're going even further back with those two. I had the Raw in question where Miz was dressed up as Cena was the May 18th Raw out of Louisville, Kentucky.
And what, did Cena no-sell him or something?
This was kind of a non-feud where Miz kept bragging that he kept beating up Cena. He had the anti-Cena shirt. He had a little thing going on, that he'd won so many matches, but it was essentially just because Cena just never showed up.
Oh, that, I remember that.
Right. And when they did face off, they faced off twice in the course of a couple of weeks. The first time, Cena just killed him. The second time they faced off, it was competitive, but Cena still won. Cena won that feud. Now, granted, this match of Mania is going to be on a more even keel. I just, again, I believe the tough enough ties would have been more worth it, and we would have, Cena could have dealt with The Rock one-on-one. But that's just me. So, but Kofi is stalled. In fact, Kofi doesn't even have a direction. He keeps attacking Del Rio. And Del Rio's match is already set with Edge. Edge, of course, hasn't really interacted much with him. He had his thing tonight with, you know, facing Drew McIntyre. Let's see, a point has popped up on my computer. Kofi, Morrison, and Sheamus are on the bubble. So this sounds like a do or die for these three. But I would think Sheamus has the edge over the three of them since he's been WWE champion twice. And again, I look at Jack Swagger. What can we do for these guys? Or what should they be doing at this point? Josh?
Well, for Morrison, I would hope that there's going to be some sort of Money in the Bank match, but I fear there's not going to be, mainly because it's now on its own pay-per-view. So I don't know where to put him, sadly. Same deal happens with Sheamus and the third guy. Well, I forgot what you said.
Kofi Kingston, our Intercontinental Champion.
Kingston? I really don't know. I really don't. Those three don't have any real big match that looks like they're going to make it to Mania with. And, this does worry me.
Now, I've heard this more than once, and I'll pose this to you, VRM. People keep saying just because Money in the Bank has a dedicated pay-per-view that they would take that off of the WrestleMania card, but that is the easiest way to give 6 to 10 guys a WrestleMania paycheck.
Yeah, I honestly, Money in the Bank has become one of WrestleMania's staple matches. What was the first one? 21? Is that the first Money? So yeah, ever since 21, there have been 4 main event matches at WrestleMania. The world titles, whatever match Undertaker's in, if it's not a world title match, and
right.
Money in the Bank. Those are the 4 things you can always expect at WrestleMania since 21.
Right, and I thoroughly enjoyed the Money in the Bank matches that I got to see in person at 22 and 23. 22, especially just because I got to see Zenmeister win it, and I got to stay in Chicago for him to do something that no other Money in the Bank winner has ever done: declare the exact date that he was going to cash in. Everybody else has been using the Edge method. Now, you know, I'll throw a scenario out there. We get Ms. Cena. John Morrison wins Money in the Bank. Miz, with a little help from Riley, maybe a little help from Cole, maybe a little help, you know. Maybe a little help from his friends. Who knows? Somehow, Miz survives. He won't be 100%, but neither will Morrison. Morrison cashes in. We get a feel-good moment out of it. But is this scenario Mania worthy? What do you think, guys?
If they hadn't completely killed Morrison's momentum, I'd say with a little build into it, like a vignette here, a video package there, in an interview there, and I think maybe it could have been viable had Morrison's momentum not been entirely killed at Elimination Chamber when he got pinned by Punk.
Just, you know, it just makes me really nervous. I really don't want to see anything happen to Morrison. I really, you know, I think he's, you know, a lot of people are comparing him to HBK. I'm kind of I want to compare him more to Rob Van Dam that he has. While he has a very nice base of wrestling moves, he has a very unique offense that he can tap into. And I want to, you know, I really want to see him succeed. Kofi has had character issues just because he had dropped the whole Jamaican thing. Mainly, probably because of the slip when his parents had said in an interview, why is he acting Jamaican? He's from Ghana. There's just, you know, they need to do some work with his character. I think it's about it, about what needs to be done. Sheamus. There's nothing wrong with Sheamus, but we can't seem to get him back up and running again.
That's probably because the only feud that we should be putting him in with right now is the return feud with Triple H, which since Trips is now in the program with The Undertaker for Mania, it's really Sheamus out in the cold.
Yeah, I wasn't feeling that, but I figured when they started talking on the rumors about Hunter facing Undertaker, I thought, oh, okay, Hunter's going to go ahead and take care of Sheamus before Mania. And maybe this is where the talk started again about Shawn. Hunter's promo next week might be, you know, he's going to talk about, well, you know, I'm going to face the Undertaker, but that's at WrestleMania. I have something else I need to take care of. And they go ahead and play that footage from the night after WrestleMania 26. Where he got, you know, where he did get to say goodbye to Shawn, he was going to say something else, and then he gets plowed. It's a shame, and I hate to use the pun, but Hunter Sheamus round two should have been a Mania match.
Mm-hmm.
But Josh, if we'd sent Hunter after Sheamus, what would Undertaker do?
That is probably one of the biggest questions, mainly because, well, with Sheamus being there, Hunter's gone in there, and Taker has no match. They'd have to put him against Wade Barrett, which is not a bad option, considering the Nexus, or what's now the majority of the core, buried him back in November.
Actually, back in...
However, I do worry that that's not going to happen either, because they don't have too much stock in Wade Barrett.
Well, I'm not sure what they're seeing or not seeing with the core, and their current program with the Big Show worries me, because it is starting to play out a little bit like Big Show versus Straight Edge Society. Personally, I think that should just boil down to, at some point, Big Show versus Ezekiel Jackson. That's what everybody wants to see when it comes to, you know, big guys. Granted, Wade's not a small man, but after the manhandling he took on SmackDown tonight, that's not going to work as a Mania match. So, Big Show Ezekiel Jackson as our monster match for Mania?
That's interesting, but I don't know.
Here's another question. What's Kane doing for Mania? Or is he one of our Money in the Bank possibilities?
He'll probably end up in Money in the Bank. He seems to be all right in there. He's done it on and off. You know, over the last couple of years, let's see, Kane's another on that bubble, sort of, now that his mega push is over. Okay. Kane, I'd go ahead and throw him Money in the Bank. He's a good hand in there. It's always nice to have a monster in there. I think he's entertaining in ladder and KLT matches. I think one of his best performances, and granted, I'm going back a bit, but when he won the tag titles single-handedly And
oh, is that DLC 4? The Raw TLC?
Yeah. Raw Roulette's TLC from late 2002. Another show that I liked up to the last couple of minutes, because that was in that, as soon as Kane got to celebrate with the title, Triple H came out and launched the worst storyline in WWE history. Yeah, I'm getting grumbles from Carl, and you can boo that storyline all you want, sir. There is a button handy for that, I'm sure.
Nope, there's a better button. Better button.
Is there a better button? Press a better button.
If you know where I'm going with the better button.
Hmm.
It's called a lever. No, the lever. Not the button. Lever.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, that's a better idea. Is the lever on there anywhere? You want to slam a door on it, Carl. I might be able to get that taken care of in a moment. I don't know if it's on the board or not. I'm double-checking.
It was on the board last week. There it is.
There. Now, that reminds me, that is one other thing I wanted to bring up about SmackDown. We've got a little thing leading with Cody Rhodes and Rey Mysterio. And tonight was a rather intriguing turn of events when Dusty himself decided to help out his son, which resulted, you know, if you will, resulting in Rey being unmasked. Granted, he kept it back to the camera the entire time. And Rey getting a beatdown. So, hey, Crappers, are you satisfied? Rey lost a segment.
Yes, I'm very satisfied.
Burn! Ouch. Now, granted, this is only one of the millions of masks that Rey Mysterio owns, so that's not the issue. Does this build into its own Mania match? What do you think, guys?
I think we need to answer a quick. We've got 1 minute left.
Let's see. Since we only have a minute left, I can wrap it up pretty quickly. I'll just plug real quick. If anybody's looking for me, I will be attending the SmackDown house shows in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and Toledo, Ohio. Staff Boy might be attending the Toledo house show with me. DRM, do you have anything to plug?
If I wanted to spend the night sleeping in slush and sitting out in the freezing cold, I'd be down at Times Union Center buying a ticket for SmackDown the week after Mania, but I'm not, so wasn't on the money for it.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, that's what ticket crappers for, man. Mr. Henniger, have you anything to plug this evening?
Except for I'm worried about CSR tomorrow, because, things and crap and the... No, I don't.
All right. Well, let's see. Since we're in our last minute of the show, I do want to say thank you guys for sticking around. I don't know what happened to Forrest, but don't panic, man. We're not mad. No heat. You're welcome to come back. And Carl doesn't have anything else to plug. So, cross your fingers for me, guys, because I'm going to be running around in the muck and the snow trying to get out to Fort Wayne.
Please be careful out there.
I will, because I am soloing this weekend, so I don't have anything else to... I don't have anybody to back me up. So, how much time do I have, Carl? Because it probably isn't enough. Ah, well. It won't matter. because that was the show, and I think we're an archive.
Yep.
Okay, gentlemen, I won't keep you guys any longer. All I'm going to do at this point is I'm going to get started. I got to get back on my signs. I've only completed one, and it says Alberto Del Rudo.
All right.
Going to try to get a core sign and maybe an edge sign in before I get some sleep. But Josh, I'll be in touch with you tomorrow night. Like I said, it'll be about 10:30 o'clock.
Okay.
And VRM, you know, good hearing from you, man. Thanks for jumping in.
All right.
So, gentlemen, good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Hi, Carl Schneider here once again reminding you that CLWA3.com is your home for everything CLWA3. The new edition will be put up sometime next week with all kinds of new content, a special section for everything here on BTR, including this program, which will have an extended section. Details will be put up on the CLWA3 Network Facebook page sometime this weekend.